Welcome to this week's CMS Personalized Learning Teacher Voice Podcast, Episode 33. This is the fourth grade team from Oakhurst STEAM Academy. I'm Philip Carey, and I teach fourth grade math and science.
I'm Courtney Hodges, and I teach fourth grade math and science.
I'm Megan Cornell, and I teach fourth grade literacy and science.
I'm Melissa Sienko, and I teach fourth grade literacy and science.
Today we're going to talk about our journey in PL this year with the strength that comes from having a cohesive team and the ways that any team can grow that strength.
All teachers want a solid team, but it's difficult to know exactly how to build a culture of teamwork, especially if you come from different walks of life. We've had great success as a team being drama-free and having shared goals, so we sat down to talk about how exactly that came to be, because it didn't just happen. We had to approach it with intentionality to make it happen. We wanted to be able to share with all of you the choices we've made along the way to help create a cohesive and productive team in our journey with personalized learning.
For us, the key to a cohesive and productive team is trust. What does trust look like in our team? It looks like trusting each other's academic decisions, trusting each other personally as peers, and trusting that we will follow clearly set expectations and shared values.
So let's talk about academic trust. Trusting each other's academic decision-making has made personalized learning possible for us. We can't even imagine having as much success as we have seen if we were only implementing this in isolation. I know that when I'm planning lessons and activities for one group, that I don't have to constantly check and recheck my peers' lessons for another group, because I trust that they are engaging and that they're going to address student needs. Without trusting each other's decisions as educators, this first year of PL would not have been as successful as what we've experienced. One great example of academic trust is that we have even taught each other's children this year. Part of our PL experience has included flex grouping based on data, which has allowed us to divide and conquer student needs more efficiently.
During this year, we as the math team have explored a lot with grouping students across multiple homerooms. Hey, Carrie, how did you feel sending some of your students to me and trusting me to help them master some of the fourth grade content?
So there was definitely a moment of like, oh, so I'm held accountable for these kids on my EVOS, but I won't have any hand in them learning those skills. And maybe that makes me a control freak. But actually, it wasn't that hard for me because we had already worked together for over a year at that point. So I did have a firm trust in you, and I was sure that you were a great teacher, and I knew that you were going to do your best for any students in your room. What about you? Did you find it difficult to adjust to the thought of another teacher teaching your kids?
In the beginning, just like you said, I was a little concerned, but it ended up working out really well. Through this experience, we both were able to become masters of specific skills. In my room, I worked on building the foundational skills and even got to identify and address some common misconceptions that these fourth graders were coming in with. While you got to push those on the fence kids and our high flyers to new levels. Sienko and Cornell, can you talk a little bit about what academic trust has looked like for y'all?
With literacy, we don't swap students often, but we still trust each other's academic decisions, especially with planning for PL units. I know that my weaknesses are Megan's strengths, and vice versa. In planning, we divide and conquer.
So what our divide and conquer planning is like is we first establish a goal for planning together. Our goal normally is the skeleton of the unit. We then divide up who is going to work on what tasks. An example of this might be Melissa picking a strategy that will be used to teach each data group, and I will create the guides for the students' data group work.
We have to trust that the other is doing great work for the students, and we don't micromanage each other.
That would be terrible. Academic trust is extremely important for people to build.
Some of you might have already done this on a team, and other people might not feel that trust and wonder where to begin. Just as we would not recommend jumping all the way into full student-led PL before your class is ready, the same goes with academic decision-making and your team. In the beginning of the year, we already had a foundation of respect for each other since this was our second year as a team. And obviously, we all knew we had the potential to kill it since we killed it last year. But seriously, we believed that the three easiest ways to build academic trust among your teammates are
So the first reason is being knowledgeable of the content standards you teach or having the determination to become an expert in those standards. The second way is planning with the end in mind. This is basically knowing where your students are as a whole and where you want them to be at the end. This could include goal setting for a single unit or the big picture, which would be curriculum mapping. The third way is don't be afraid of data dates. Use everyday data to drive your conversation in your PLC. Consider how your data is speaking to you. Did it tell you that one person on your team is stronger at teaching multiplication? Then learn more from that person. Academic trust comes from openness and taking responsibility. So don't be afraid to go there on the first date. Oh, I mean data date.
All right, so next we're going to talk about trusting the personalized learning process and the people in it. Whenever you start something new, there are those voices in your head that tell you, should I do this or should I not? The same was true with personalized learning. Some people said it was a great thing and others didn't. We had to come together as a group and make the decision of whether or not this would be something that we would commit to. Before even starting the process, we needed solidarity.
I remember after we left the Summer Institute last year, we were all on pretty much a PL high. We were loving everything about personalized learning, and we couldn't wait to start it with our students in the fall. But then...
when the school year started, we realized things would be harder than we thought. Who would have thought that students don't come preloaded with the learner profile traits? We had to figure out a lot through trial and error. Part of trusting the process is not jumping the ship when things go south. We even felt like PL failures towards the beginning, mostly the math team, which is me. But being the trusting family that we are, we knew that none of us were going to give up.
We had to remind ourselves and each other that this is a new process. We had to trust that things would get better and that each of us was determined to get there. So we stuck with it.
Courtney, do you remember how hard it was in the beginning for us planning math?
Oh my gosh, yes.
So, I don't know. The biggest thing that sticks out to me is when we were staying after school for hours, like actually creating new resources for our first playlists. And I think we have an issue with like trying to bite off more than we can chew.
Yes.
So, I remember... we were trying to plan like three activities for each part of the playlist when really we should have stuck with one or two, you know, something manageable since we were just getting our feet wet.
Absolutely. I mean, one thing that sticks out in my mind and will forever is that nightmare of staying after school one day until about 7 p.m. making thousands and thousands of copies
literally for
one playlist. Yeah. And I just remember both of our significant others being like, there's no way that you're going to be able to do this for the rest of the school year. So we definitely had to make some major adjustments so that we could maintain our sanity through the rest of this year.
Yeah. So what about the lit team? How are you feeling in the first couple months of PL?
I remember when we struggled in the fall with personalized learning. We had way too many lessons and strategies that we were trying to teach the kids, which only ended up confusing the students more. The second I noticed this little hiccup, I went straight to Melissa. I clearly remember her feeling the exact same way.
Absolutely. I remember the playlist felt pointless because there was barely any independent practice time with how many mini lessons we were trying to do for all of our different groups. We knew we needed to try something else right away. Clearly, the honeymoon was over right after the ceremony, and a team without trust would have filed for a PL divorce. But being the trusting team that we are, we constantly talked about solutions instead of surrendering. So here's how we looked defeat in the eyes.
So I remember one of the first things we did was reach out to our PL coach with issues, and she helped us to identify points of growth for us, and she also encouraged us with things that were going really well. And we also had meetings within the PLC whenever issues came up. So that's another really important part of trusting your team. If you feel that something isn't going well in your classroom, don't hold it in. Look to your team for support. When we met, we made sure we focused on solutions. And I know we spent plenty of time complaining and venting, but we always ended the meeting with a solution in mind that we hoped would fix the problem.
And our third point is trusting the team to maintain clear expectations. One of our strengths as a team that we brought into our PL journey is the high expectations that we hold for our students. Our expectations include consistent work ethic, positive behavior, both inside and outside of the classroom, and mutual respect for everyone.
I can't imagine how difficult it would be to teach on a team where students in another classroom are acting wild or not having to complete their work, while my students are expected to follow the expectations of fourth grade.
Having strong expectations is extremely important to us because when you set high standards for your students, they will rise to that occasion. We have seen it happen with some of the toughest students. We feel that it is important for these to be the consistent across the grade level because our students know that when they are redirected by one of us, we speak for the whole team. It goes back to that solidarity piece. Not only that, but logistically, we sometimes teach each other's students. We are departmentalized, so I know I have to trust that when one teacher's students come to me, they already know the expectations. Also, we sometimes group students across homerooms according to their data, and in this scenario, we have to trust each other's dedication to the expectations.
So we hope sharing our reflection of our journey with PL has helped in some small way. We're excited to continue on our journey together next year, stronger and maybe a little wiser. Thank you for listening to the CMS Teacher Voice podcast this week. We look forward to learning more with you next week.